Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Yep, raring to go.
Oh, good news, good news. Well, let's get cracking, KB. Huddersfield against Leeds, the West Yorkshire derby. A cracking match. I think a lot of people were thinking Huddersfield did deserve to win it in the end. But some ugly scenes at the end of that Yorkshire derby with both charges from the FA for Gary Monk and for David Wagner.
Well, it's been getting increasing, isn't it, this situation of managers losing control of themselves. In games recently, it's getting more and more people being charged and sent to the stands, etc., etc. And I think it's a pity because managers and coaches are supposed to set examples, aren't they? And if they can't control themselves, they can hardly be in a position to criticise or discipline players who themselves sometimes lose control. And I think that the only way to do it is come down and think about this for some time. It should be standard punishments and standard fines. And that will concentrate the minds. For example, if players are suspended because of red cards or yellow cards, then they should have their wages withheld for the period of suspension. And the same applies to managers. I can remember a year or 40-odd years ago, Malcolm Allison, who's in charge of Manchester City, he behaved inappropriately, and I think they suspended him for 6 weeks and forbade him to go near the ground, all the training ground, so that there's a real punishment. Malcolm never... I knew Malcolm quite well. He's a bit of a fiery character, but he never did it again. And I think they got into strict laws at the beginning of the season. So everybody is fully aware of what's going to happen. And that's it. We don't want the newspapers, we won't put football in the newspaper for the wrong reason, but for the right reason.
Quite right too, KB. Some ugly scenes there. I just wanted to talk to you and touch on Leicester City, actually, and Claudio Ranieri. They beat Derby last night in their FA Cup replay, so they're through to the next round. But it's been a difficult season for Leicester, and one of your old managers when you were at Chelsea, Claudio Ranieri, of course, he had the dreaded vote of confidence this week. But, they're struggling, but he's in some difficult times at the moment there.
Well, I think to start with, it's what we have had, the vote of confidence he had from these from the owners was a wholehearted one, not like some of the half-hearted ones you get in the past. And I think that he's they appear to be very good owners and supervisors of the club, and they're giving Claudio a free hand. And he's getting on with it. I suppose this year was always going to be an anti-climax after last season's tremendous success. But I'm a bit disappointed that they haven't been doing better than they are. But against that, I think selling Kante was a mistake. Or let's put it this way, they haven't replaced him. Because so many games when Leicester won 1-0, when you watch the game, The ball came out to the right side midfield. Kante looked up. There was Vardy lurking in the far left-hand corner of the penalty area. And a beautifully hit ball come over almost to Vardy's feet. And he would hit it as it arrived in the back of the net before the goalkeeper could look. And he got a lot of goals that way. And he's not getting that kind of service this year. And Vardy's a poacher. He doesn't lead the line. Not his job, not his statue either. So that there you are. But I don't think they'll go down. I think it'll be a close-cut thing. Then they'll give them a chance and the opportunity to rebuild in the summer. And meanwhile, back to Leeds. A bit disappointing. But on the other hand, what's interesting, of the four playoff places, Huddersfield, Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds, that's a renaissance in Yorkshire, isn't it? And a great time. It also means that so we've got to play each other. And as we know, derbies are unexpected and can't be forecast. Because it's all about bragging rights as well as three points. So it's leading up to a very interesting running.
It's going to be a very interesting running. You're quite right, KB.
Let's go if Mr. Monk behaves himself, and then he can inspire his players to do the same. Pity they lost out on the technicality.
Well, it's going to certainly be an interesting end to the season, there's no doubt. There's also quite a bit going on at the FA, and the chairman, Greg Clark, says he's going to quit if he can't win any support from the government for its reform plans. There's a motion in no confidence in the FA. Apparently, it's going to be debated in the House of Commons today after five former FA executives said the governing body had failed to self-reform, KB.
Well, I think we've got to go back to the former executives who said that. I mean, quite frankly, there's a perfect example of Greg Dyke, Lord Kriesman, neither of them knew anything about football, so why they were appointed FA chairman, I don't know. In the first place, I don't know. And Greg Dyke, who older fans will remember, was the man that tried to smash English football when he was at ITV by trying to organise an ITV Super League and breakaway, aided and abetted by David Dean. But fortunately, it was killed off by people, including me, that raised practical problems for them, so it never went ahead. So how that man got the job being the chairman of the FA, I do not know. And his performances on TV recently on the programme, he panel he sits on every week, doesn't inspire with confidence anyway. But I think what to look at, first of all, what to look at the thing that it's all come from the Sport, Media and Culture Committee. But it's very interesting because Martin Samuel wrote an interesting article yesterday. I think some of the criticism of the FA is they're not diverse enough, they're not this, they're not all the usual criticism. But of the Culture Committee, consists of 11 members. 10 of them are middle-aged whites, one is a men, one is a middle-aged white woman. I don't know if any of them ever done any day's work in their life, in the real world. And I don't know what their experience is of sport and football. So it's a question of the, in my opinion, the blind leading the blind. And I would have thought the government would be better off spending their time trying to improve the state of the country rather than get involved in football. Be interesting. I think the FA should perhaps hold a vote of no confidence in committees. I know that when I was chairman of Wembley and a director of the FA, we found the sports minister, who's a nice fellow, Chris Smith, had no idea at all. And some of the civil servants we dealt with, one of whom now is a senior official in the BBC, another one is an MP. Didn't show any particular brains or ability. So it'd be interesting to watch that debate today. But as to the quality of it, I don't know. Greg Dyke, I had dealings with him when he was chairman of the Football League, and I thought he was a good man. He gave me the impression he was unprepossessing, quiet, just got on with the job behind the scenes. And as such, I'm sure if you're doing the same situation at the FA. The problem with the FA, if there is a problem, is basically it's a federal system. Every county has its own FA. And they get together and send a representative or two to the Central Football Association, the English Football Association. So but their job is to... principal job is to run the game at the grassroots level, overused phrase, But what I have to remember is these people do an awful lot of work right at the bottom of the food chain, for a better word, and often work for little or no salary. They're Corinthians, they do it because they love the game. And all were being slagged off, I know. But they do a great deal of work behind the scenes. And it's a very big and very difficult organisation to run. It's also run by committees. A lot of damage was done to the infrastructure by the unlamented Adam Crozier, who came in from the advertising world, knew nothing about football, and did a great deal of damage to the staffing because he had all the wrong priorities. I remember at one board meeting he made the proud announcement that now 50% of the staff employed at the FA were graduates, to which I inquired, does that include the cleaners, the security men, and telephone operators? And he didn't get that very well. The reason why he didn't move to Wembley when Wembley was built, the offices, because he was still having lunch most days in the advertising world's little envelope just south of Oxford Street, where all the advertising agents had their offices, which is where he came from. But I think that Clark is a good, decent man. You have to take, in football, you have to take people with you. You can't impose things. And I can't see that the imposition of a committee or a regulator, whatever that means, would do much good for football. The regulator hasn't done much good looking after sorting out the BBC, has he? He hasn't done much good sorting out the banks. He hasn't done much good sorting out many other things as well. So one more quango. 10 more tickets in the Royal Box at Wembley, the cup final. And so it goes on. They don't actually get any work done. And all they'll do is get a bit, if they're not careful, they get a grassroots revolt. Say, OK, FA, you run it, we're off. Then we will get to better doing nothing. Or just observing. A regulator, no. And what grounds have they got? Haven't seen any evidence yet. Any criticism they've got to make. They're real men. If it had been for that lot, left of that lot, Wembley wouldn't have been built. Or have had a running track in it. Only 80,000 capacity. Instead of which we've got a magnificent stadium. The final example of what happens if people don't know anything about football get involved is St George's Park, the National Centre, FA Centre, stuck up in the Midlands somewhere, miles from anywhere, complete white elephant. That's Mr Crozier's legacy. Mine is Wembley. Excuse me. Okay.
Well, finally, KB, let's talk some more Donald Trump, because the Speaker of the Commons has got involved in the debate now, John Bercow. It's been criticised by some Tory MPs who says he should remain impartial, but he's intervened and effectively said that Donald Trump will not be speaking in the House of Commons. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that, first of all, to go back to Mr Bercow, he was a right-wing Tory. With disillusion with the Tory establishment. And I think 2010, when they're losing the election, the last thing the Labour Party did was to nominate him as Speaker before they went out. And Bercow is not, in my opinion, is not rational, he isn't balanced. He's got an anti-Tory bias, and you can see it, the way that he speaks to Tory members and the way he speaks to Labour members. And, of course, he calls Labour far more equal choice to speak. In fact, there's one lady, of course, so just desperate, she said, what do I have to do to get back in the court? Give him a blowjob. And a comment like that, that was made out of petulance, was or frustration, probably just about summed him up. He's a preening little dog's body who looks in the mirror and can't believe how clever and how handsome he is. But of course, penchant for publicity. And a sigh for the days of Betty Bruford, who was a brilliant, brilliant speaker and took the house with her. So I think that Burko is out of order. But I think there's ways of showing that. I think UKIP should put somebody up against. By tradition, the speaker is never challenged, so he gets re-elected without, in effect, without a campaign. And I think it would be a good idea UKIP put somebody up against him. That would be interesting to see whether he kept his position. I think he's a disgrace to his profession, and he's a disgrace to the job he holds. It's interesting that the leader of the House of Lords put him down very severely, but did it in such a way, a gentlemanly way, that they couldn't find fault with it. He behaved the way he should do. It should have. Lamont behaved the way, Lord Lamont behaved the way he should do, and Burko didn't and doesn't. It's a pain in the arse. Things get done much better when he's out and his deputies are in charge. Quite apart from all the money he spends, globe-trotting around the world, at, of course, taxpayers' expense, not his own. Now, we may disagree with Mr. Trump. Actually, I'm afraid, I looked at him and looked at Hillary Clinton, and I thought that how can a country of nearly 400 million people come up with those two as the best to compete with each other? But Trump, I think, is the less of the two evils. Hillary Clinton never done a day's work in her life. Trump's been in the real world, in the real business world, and he's made his mistakes, he's made his losses. He also made himself a lot of money, created a lot of jobs in the process, so he can get things done. And I think the fact, what he's doing in a very provocative way, is he's drawing attention to things that the Democrats have swept under the carpet. So that he has changed it, and he's USA first. His job is not to save the world, his job is to look after his country and his citizens. And that's what he's charging himself to do, whether you agree with it or not, or the way he's going about it or not. That is, he's doing something. But compared with our lot, Cameron came in 7 years ago and said he was going to make a bonfire of quangos in all these semi-government autonomous self-appointed regulators, that sort of thing. Get rid of them all. We've got more now than when we started. When he came in, he abolished none. We created plenty. Trump's getting things done. It's like when you go into a football club that's in a mess. First thing you have to do is be unpopular. The reason why you become unpopular is because you ruffle the feathers of the people who are very happy the way it's gone. Look at the number of people at Leeds who never bought a bloody ticket in their life. Look at the 100 Club, the Centenary Club. The story behind that briefly is that we had a fire in 1956, I think it was. 100 fans put up £1,000 each, a lot of money in those days, to rebuild the sand. And in return, they had a club within a club. There's reward. But when I was invited to the annual lunch, which I went along to, and we met the committee, the fact of the matter is, with one exception, the guy was 90-odd, none of them were people who put £1,000 up. They were just going on and on and on. Meanwhile, they had some of the best seats in the house. They had carpets in the gangways. They had their own bar. and actually I produced the receipts to show the money they spent in the bar didn't cover the barman's wages. And so I abolished it. So it wasn't very popular. That's what you have to do with bad things. Change them. Like the, I remember the owner of Le Grillard in Leeds. It's a very nice French restaurant, actually, the miserable owner. And someone else said to him, do you go to Leeds? He said, no, Mr. Bates didn't give me any free tickets. I said, no, and you don't give me any free dinners either, so what's your problem? And so I think that Trump, he may be doing a good job for the right reason, certainly shaking the establishment, which needs to be done. Well, hopefully, Theresa May is going to do that in the next 4 years or 3 years to the next election. With the Labour Party. And the MPs can't run their own departments, their own organisations. How the hell can they expect respect from these people who want to interfere with football?
Well, KB, as ever, always a pleasure. And we'll catch up at the same time next week.
Good. Thank you very much and good luck.